Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
All right, track number 12 on the countdown. I couldn't imagine a better person to do this song, having spent some time in SoCal. It's Unfair. The South taking what the North taking what the South delivers.
That's right.
Were you delivering to the North?
I mean, when I sucked and kiss, it's sour. This song, you know, it's awesome. If on the album, it could be a song three for me. It's like, it's got rockets, you know, it goes. And that's amazing. I'm so glad it's number 12. It's in the top 20. So it definitely should be. It's really high up there for me. It's probably in my top five.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band, Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballads. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and a tall fat guy wearing a David Byrne suit, and let me tell you, it fit like a glove. How will your favorite songs fare in the rankings? Well, you'll need to tune in to find out, so there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Martel. Martel, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm great, thank you. Great to see you at last. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, this is nice, isn't it?
Awesome. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. It's a cool... We were just talking before we went on tape, and we were talking about it's a great homework assignment to do one of these, because you have to listen to a great song, you know, a few times, or a lot of times, as the case may be.
Absolutely. I've been listening to all of your shows from the Meeting Malkmus right through to the top 50. So it's great to finally meet you.
Oh, that means so much. Thank you so much. That's it's always great to meet somebody who's listened as well and doesn't want to punch me in the face. Well, what do you say we get right into things and talk about your Pavement origin story?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So for me, it started in February 1994. So I'd have been 16 years old. And at that time, I used to meet up with friends on a Saturday. Obviously still at school at that time, and we'd go to the record shops. So around that time as well, certain record shops used to have these listening posts where you could go in and listen to new releases. So I was always obviously looking for, you know, new material, being a big music fan. And around this time, I'd found some sort of music reviews on teletext. Now, are you familiar with...
I was just going to ask you, can you tell us what teletext is?
So I was trying to think of how to explain it, but it was kind of like the internet for the late 80s and early 90s in a way.
Oh,
so
like bulletin boards?
Well, it was through the television. So you push a button through the television and you can access, you know, news and sport and things like that. And there were some music reviews on there. So you sort of punch in the number and some music reviews would come up. Anyway, on there was a review for Crooked Rain by Pavement. And I'd never heard of Pavement at this time.
Right.
Didn't know of the album Crooked Rain at all. But thought, Yeah, that sounds interesting. And actually, they compared it to the Lemonheads, which was a band that I liked at the time as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, oh, excellent. That's one to look out for. As it turns out, I don't think the album's anything like the Lemonheads, but there we go.
No.
Anyway, went into to the city centre to meet some friends, and there it was on the listening post to listen to. So popped on the headphones, gave it a listen, and literally within sort of 10 seconds of Silence Kid, that was it. I was hooked.
Oh, that's so cool.
And just to add to that, my friend who I was with, he had some cash and I didn't at the time. So he ended up buying the album, and we took it to another friend's and then listened to the whole album through. And it was just, you know, just, I've heard other people say it on your show as well. It was just one of those moments where you found your sound. And it just, I had lots of bands that I was keen on in the past, but there was just something different and special about this band that's kind of stayed with me ever since, really.
It's really interesting how that vibe can just sort of happen and you're like, this is what I've been looking for a long time. And
absolutely.
Why is it taking me? In your case, it didn't take you that long to find it. They had only been around for, you know, 4.5 years at that point.
Yeah.
But so you got on relatively early. My question is, and this is just sort of a rinky-dink question, but what format did you buy it on? Was it on compact disc at the time, or
did you get vinyl? I'm pretty sure it was cassette.
Oh, cassette. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So later on, I ended up buying all the compact discs, and more recently, I've gone for the vinyl as well. So I'm
triple dip,
hitting them all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as we were listening to this album, Crooked Rain, the other thing about it is the artwork. I heard one of your guests talking about it the other week, and the artwork on the album is, you know, really sort of drew me in as well. And the fact that there's no pictures of the band, and the, you know, the abstract names, SM and Spiral Stairs, you know, who are these guys? And obviously no internet at the time. You couldn't search them up or find anything out about them. So it was that kind of mystery element as well added to the intrigue, I think.
I think so too. I talked to Spyro really early on, and he said, like, he really wanted to lean into that even more, you know, the mysteriousness of, like, who these people were who were recording this music. Ultimately, they didn't. Of course, Wowie Zowie, we saw their faces and whatnot on the artwork.
Yeah.
Shit, I had a question for you, and it's eluded me now. So continue, and if it pops into my head, then we'll see what happens. Oh, that's what I was going to say. There are a lot of good episodes on the main feed with Bobby from Atlanta, where we broke down the album covers. He got to talk to Mark No. I want to say it was Mark No, and he did most of the artwork. So if you want to hear more about the artwork, go back and listen to those episodes. They're very good.
Yeah. Was it Steve Keen you had on at one point as well from the, didn't he do the Wari Zari cover?
I never actually got Keen on. No, but I got the person who was making the Steve Keen book, and their name eludes me right now. I'm sorry about that, but I did speak to them. That was nice.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely look back at that.
So where do we go from here?
I was going to say another thing about the album was, in my experience, quite often I find that, sorry, I'm talking quite a lot about Crooked Rain at the moment, but only because that's my entry point. I think quite often I would say that with music, if it's an instant album, it tends to fade away more quickly, whilst albums that, or music in general, that takes repeated listens quite often stays with you for longer. That probably hasn't been the case so much for me with Crooked Rain, in that it was instant but has stayed with me. However, Slanted and Wowie Zowie were a bit more of sort of slow burners, and Bright in the Corners as well. I found with that, that didn't do it for me to start with in quite the same way, but I absolutely love all of those albums equally, yes. I would say now. Just
absolutely. Yeah, it's so wild, right? They're all your babies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what happened with you and the gang after listening to Crooked Rain? What's the next step in this story?
So the next step was, I think that it gets a bit fuzzy because basically we caught up on, I think it was Watery Domestic first.
Oh, next, wow.
Which...
What did you think of that?
Oh, just absolutely love it. It's probably I would say it's my favorite sort of pound for pound of all their releases.
I think so. It's just, I think that's not a...
It's just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I've heard you say in the past about adding, you know, Greenlander and So Stark on the end of that. And yeah, that would probably elevate it even more if that's possible. But
which is mind blowing, right?
Incredible, yeah.
Throwing away these songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And then came Slanted, which it sounded almost like a different band at first until you kind of cut through the sort of lo-fi element of it, I suppose. But again, absolutely love that record. Then it would have been Westing.
Okay.
And probably even more so with that, it felt like quite a messy record and quite a difficult listen to start with. But again, a fantastic compilation. And then Wari Zari came out, which...
And so you got that in real time?
In real time, yeah. I got that literally as it was released.
Yeah. Oh, you lucky dog.
Yeah, the fantastic album. Really interesting reviews around the time, because it was fairly negative reviews at the time when it first came out. And I could see that it wasn't as instant as Crooked Rain had been, and obviously it's so long, isn't it? And it's got everything sort of thrown on. But maybe in a way that means it lasts longer through the years. There's more to discover through that album.
Yeah, I like that analogy of a record being like a sugar cube. You know, if it melts in your mouth right away and it satisfies that sugary need, you know, it's good, but it doesn't last. Whereas if you have something that is like good for you and specific and is your vibe, then, you know, like you say, it lingers and sticks around. Did you get a chance to see them live on the Wowie tour?
Yes. So I first saw them at Reading Festival 1994, which was just awesome. So I'd have been just turned 17 at the time. Yeah.
Damn.
So that was brilliant. And then they actually came to Norwich I think it was May 95. To the university here. And that was a strange show. It was wonderful, but it was the venue was, you know, half empty, if not more. There were very few people there. Which in a way is a shame, but at the time kind of felt special that they were putting on this show for us, you know, and there was only, we were right at the front. There was, you know, I don't know, sort of, I wouldn't have thought there was more than 100 people there. So that was great.
What an intimate environment to see them. Wow. Yeah.
And then after that, it was Reading again, 95. Again, fantastic. And then Glastonbury in 97. And then they played. So I went to university in Hull. I don't know if you're aware of the connection.
I'm not good geography wise.
No, it's fine. So Bob Nastanovich, I believe, has lots of friends there. And anyway, they played this show in 99. At this really tiny venue in Hull, and that's actually what the poster is for here. So it's October 27th, 1999, small club in Hull called the Adelphi.
So Martel is pointing at this spectacular picture of the cover of Watery Domestic that acted as a tour poster for this tour that he went to see in 99. It's a great poster.
Yeah, so it was a warm-up gig for the main tour. So that this would have been the, I guess, the Terror Twilight tour. And it was this warm-up gig, really small venue. And it's sort of legendary, I think, in that SM had a whole city hat on. They talk about it. It's talked about in the magazine, the Pavement. I don't know if you've got this. It's the Pavement magazine. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it's mentioned so in there, the whole gig there. So
that must have been neat to see when you got the magazine.
Absolutely. Yeah. To see nice that mentioned
memory
as one of the sort of highlights is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I didn't catch them on the reunion tour, the first one, which was 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I did see them again. I did see them three times, actually, this time.
Oh, I bet you we were at the same shows.
Probably,
I did everything except for Leeds.
So I was at two of the London shows.
Me too.
That was the first one and the third one.
Okay, I was at the third one. I missed the first one.
Yeah.
I went to 2, 3, 4.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was great. I mean, you mentioned you weren't at the first one. I loved the first one, but I think it was partly because it was the first one. It was, you know, and it'd been so long since I'd seen them.
What did you think of the Roundhouse?
Oh, great. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, nice venue.
Yeah. I actually got the second time I went to the third gig, I was seated at the top. So that was really bizarre.
Dude, I was at the top as well.
Oh, were you? For both or?
Well, for number two, I was on the floor. And then number three, they hooked me up with the top. And number four, they hooked me up with the top.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, so it's
number three, there was barely anybody up there. There was his daughters were up there. We were up there. And I guess you were up there. Like, but there was not very many other people up there, was there?
Well, I wasn't with the band in that part, but I was in the, you know, that would have been
the
nice.
The upper ring.
In the upper ring. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say that would have been such a small world.
That really would have been awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But very different, as you can probably allude to, in that the first one, when I was down in the pit, if you like, completely different sort of atmosphere and vibe to the third one when I was up the top. But both equally fantastic and just different different experiences. Yeah. And then the last time, sorry if I'm talking too much. I'm just
you're not. This is your show, Daddy-O.
The last one was at a small festival called Blue Dot.
Oh, I heard about that.
Up in the north of England where they were headlining. It was really wet and muddy. It was grim. But they still put on a brilliant show. Prior to their show, they actually did a chat and sort of talked through the album Wowie Zowie. So sat and watched that. And then after that, we were heading back round to the stage. And we saw SM. He was just walking behind the sort of marquee where they'd had the interview. So I shamefully accosted him and shook his hand.
Sorry, but Steve.
Yeah, it was one of those really awkward moments where I suppose where you meet somebody like a hero, I suppose.
Yes.
And in my head, I was thinking, I know that he wants to get out of here, but I had to say hello, so I kept it brief.
I don't know. I think he's much less prickly, you know, than I think that he might have been in the past. He seemed to be really warm with a lot of fans, so I don't know that he would have been trying to get away. I think this was really an overwhelming experience for them, you know, to go on the road and to be that loved again, you know,
I mean, he was
20 years past.
Yeah, he was very gracious and polite. It was just that I knew he was heading somewhere.
Sure.
I sort of, you know, felt bad for for stopping him, really. But anyway, it was good to meet him.
I bet. Was there anything else you want to share about your origin story?
No, I think that's pretty much everything.
It's fascinating. I'm glad that you got to see them, you know,
for the most part in real time. That's really cool. Makes me envious. I won't lie to you. But should we get into track 11?
Sounds good.
All right. We will listen to track 11 and we'll be back on the other side to discuss it. Talk to you then.
Fab.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
11.
Today, we have almost cracked the top 10, if you can believe it. Song number 11 on the countdown is the second track from the debut long play. It's Trigger Cut, Wounded Kite at 17. Martel, what are your initial thoughts of this song being number 11?
Well, it's a great track. It's one that I've, you know, has been in my life for a long time. I actually bought the single, which I'm holding up here.
Cool.
Yeah. Bought that back in the 90s. I was listening to it in preparation for meeting with you, JD, and I've never really thought too much about the lyrics, so I tried to give that a bit more thought. I love the tune. I loved it on tour, on this recent tour. I thought they did a brilliant job of the track for that. Lyrically, I was thinking about it and a bit more in preparation, as I say, and thinking, I mean, obviously the thing with SM's lyrics is how abstract they are. Yeah. And I always think he's like somebody who juxtaposes different ideas together, maybe deliberately, I don't know, to kind of make things more abstract and more difficult to cut through, which I love. But it feels like it's he's carrying a weight. He's got his heavy coat filled with rocks and sand, being weighed down, but he wants to get rid of that. He wants to cut that out, and he's got a trigger cut. So a trigger being something in my mind that happens quickly and suddenly. And if he can do that, if he can cut that off, maybe those people or whatever it is that's weighing him down, then he'll be back. He'll be himself again. He'll be lighter and freer. So I don't know. That's probably completely nothing like what it's about. It's probably something else, or maybe nothing at all. As you know, often it's the getting. It's the words themselves and the way they sound, right, perhaps, that's the key. But that was my additional thoughts as I revisited it.
No, I appreciate you putting your neck on the line there. You know, it's when you talk about art, it does get tough, because there's not you know, it's not like Trivial Pursuit where you flip the card over and get the answer.
Get the answer, absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're all just speculating here. I forget what I said on the Trigger Cut episode, but it wasn't what you said, but it's, you know, it's in some ways equally valid, right? Like,
it's just kind of fun,
I like,
isn't
your
it?
Theory.
It's kind of fun to speculate and just to deepen the conversation around those tracks.
Absolutely.
I think. So
those opening lyrics. Oh, lies of betrayals, fruit covered nails, electricity. Like, to me, that is, you know, meeting somebody that is well, somebody that is gonna lie and betray you, but just somebody that just zaps you with their, you know, their presence.
Yeah.
But I love those, even not thinking about the meaning of them, I just love those lyrics.
The sound, like, of that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. What do you think of fruit covered nails?
I think it's like nail polish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But who can tell with this man?
You know,
it's like a poetic pastiche.
Absolutely. That's part of the appeal, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your relationship to this song? Do you remember hearing it the first time? If you don't, that's fine. Because that's asking you a lot.
I can't remember whether I had the single prior to the album of Slanted or the other way around. But I do remember first hearing it. And I remember more the music than the lyrics initially. The sort of melody, if you like. I think partly maybe it was alongside Slanted, because it contrasts so much with Summer Babe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The kind of dirtiness, I want to say, of Summer Babe and the guitars in
there.
Compared to the lightness of Trigger, or relative lightness of Trigger Cut, anyway.
Yeah.
A real contrast. And then another contrast as you go into track three, via the interlude of Wounded Kite.
Right, right. What do you think that's all about, Wounded Kite at 17?
I have no idea. Certainly in terms of the title of it. I wonder if it's because obviously track three is so different. No Life, Sinister, isn't it? So maybe wanted an interlude to go into that, so it wasn't so jarring to go into track three. I don't know. I've no idea what Wounded Kite is. but the only connection I can think is he released SM released a song called Kite, didn't he, on his solo album or his Jix album.
I'm trying to remember which record it is, though.
It's Sparkle Hard, I think. Yeah, Sparkle Hard.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last Jix record we've had access to. I wonder when we're going to get more, you know? If we're going to get more.
Sooner the better.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So how do you feel about the rating of this song at number 11? Is it a top 11 song for you? Is it, I know you don't have the context of the whole list, but we're recording this in April and this isn't going to come out until October, you know, sometime. So you don't have access to the entirety of the list, but is it a top 10 song for you? Is it a top 20 song for you?
I've so far spoken very glowingly about it, but I would say actually it would be slightly lower for me. So not in the top 10. I do love the song. I think it's maybe a little bit because I've heard it so many times. And I do think with some of the catchier songs, some of the singles, they do have that element of maybe not so much longevity as some of the sort of messier songs for me. I would put it a little lower, but not much.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Yeah, I think so. I think for me, it's a top 10 song, but
it's not about me. I certainly wouldn't question anybody who puts this in their top 10 or even in number one. It's a great song.
Yeah, they get from here on out, they get pretty interchangeable. I won't lie to you.
I can imagine.
There's going to be some water cooler talk about the top 10 and how they fit together.
I'm looking forward to that.
It has been fantastic talking to you today. Anything that you would care to plug or anything that, you know, you're doing on the internet or anything like that you want people to find you?
No, nothing to plug, nothing to uncover, but really enjoyed the chat. It's always great to talk to somebody, a fellow fan, about Pavement rather than trying to bore my family with my obsession and see their glazed over faces as I bring up Pavement once again. So thank you very much for the opportunity. Been great.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for your time. Make sure to wash your goddamn hands, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email.
jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Jump.
Chumba. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.